morning. The reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 to 24. You can find it on page 1188 in your church Bible. Now, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other, and we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it.
I'd like to start by apologizing again, as Fiona already has done. If you're a visitor who just happens to have rocked up to St. Paul's today for a regular service. But I hope that what I have to share with you, if you're visiting today, will be relevant to you as a Christian from anywhere and inspire you, challenge you, encourage you as, if you are just visiting, you go back to your own community and church. And it's just lovely to see, it's lovely to see a full church. It's lovely to see people who have been away in different places, who've specially come today, whether it be from Derby or Germany or Park Hill School. It's so many happy memories that I'm going to share, and I'm not going to preach for an hour to keep us till lunch, but I'm just going to sum up a few of those. And I looked at Paul for so many different passages I could have preached from. And at 9 o'clock, I chose Philippians 1, which reflects how I feel about St. Paul's church. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. It's right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. That's how Paul felt about the Christians in Philippi. That's how I feel about this church. I love this church. I am very proud of this church. And I was speaking at Holy Trinity Richmond last Sunday. It was an arrangement made long ago because they're in Interregnum. They're waiting for a new vicar. And I was saying to them, a lot of people are asking me at the moment, so are you excited about going to St. Richard's? And if I'm honest, I say, no, actually, I'm not excited at all. I'm just conscious of how much we are giving up, how much we are leaving behind. Because, as I said, I love this place. We've got so many friends here after 14 years. It's really interesting that we had a visit from a couple who, Paul used to be church warden here some years ago, and they've moved out into the countryside. And he said, looking around, I probably know about half the people here. And that's the nature of the church, that we're always moving on. But we have made so many friends, many of whom are still with us, many of whom have only known St. Paul's under my leadership. And so we are going to miss you. We're going to miss especially the staff, because you spend a lot of time as a staff team together. And so we are really going to miss them. And we'll miss the resources of St. Paul's. St. Paul's is such a rich, thriving church in comparison to so many churches up and down the country. Caroline just missed me saying how much I'm going to miss the staff. I'm going to really miss the staff, Caroline. Although I suspect I might be sending you some WhatsApps now and again just to keep you in the mood. I'm going to miss the worship. Oh, it was such a joy and a privilege to be able to choose the songs today. We just love the worship here at St. Paul's. And let me just say, St. Richard's will be very different in its worshipping style. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to miss the chance to choose our sermon series, because as preachers we get together and we say, so what do we feel that God is saying to us that we need to preach about for the future? We won't have that because we'll be preaching from the lectionary. I won't get to preach for more than 10 minutes, at least not at the start. I'm going to miss screens. I love visuals. I think it's so powerful to be able to see the visuals. And I was talking to the church warden this week, and she admitted they do have a screen. But she said, I don't think we're ready for using on our Sunday yet. So, again, this is something we may build on for the future. But at the moment, we're going to miss the screens. We miss the freedom. I'm clearing out all my paperwork in the study, and I came across something that, as a vicar who's going to be training a curate, I was taught back in 2008 or 9, I think it was, when we were going to get our first curate, and all the rules of canon law that we're supposed to keep every Sunday. That made me a lot more conscious of how many I'm breaking, which I hadn't known before. And I'm going to miss the variety. Yes, even the variety of 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock and 10:30 and 6:30. Thankfully, that wasn't most Sundays, because that was exhausting. But there's a joy in that. And hopefully in time, over the next year, we'll bring some more variety to St. Richard's. But at the moment, that's what we're giving up. We are all going to miss our house so terribly. We are conscious that we live in a palace, in a mansion. We are so privileged to live in a beautiful house next door. And we're very grateful for that. We recognise it is a privilege. And it's been a great 14 years. At the same time, you know, I'm not going to pretend it hasn't all been glorious and wonderful every single day. Thinking back to a few of the worst moments, the flood was one of the absolute worst, where that's a little pump floating in the water that's trying to get rid of the vast amount of water that we're just sweeping in and overwhelming first the ambulatory, then the offices, and then even into the church itself. It was dire. And what made it even more dire is that Heather and I have one of the worst rails of our married life over the towels that had been used to try and stop the water coming in. Yes, it was foul water. Yes. She's wanting for the tape to you to hear that they were the best towels. Okay. But it was a terrible day. During the time, making two members of staff redundant was very difficult and painful and unpleasant. I still think it was the right thing that we had to do as a church, but it wasn't easy. It wasn't good. And many of you here won't know Sebastian Bossom. He died in 2010, aged just 4 months. And those were four terrible months, four precious months, but four really sad months, as we knew that he was not going to live long. So there have been sad times and difficult times, and Heather's going to talk about that a bit more from her perspective at lunch, if that encourages you to come back and hear the speeches. But as I look back over the 14 years, what has been so wonderful and good and remarkable and memorable is seeing God at work in so many different ways. Because the point of church, which we sometimes can forget, is not to meet our friends and have a really happy social time and have fun together. Although that is good, being family together. But it's about encountering Jesus. It's about growing in a relationship with God. It's about experiencing more of the Holy Spirit and being transformed by him at work. And so just some random memories that I pick out from over those years. Just one from really recently, at 9 o'clock, just a few weeks ago, whatever day Pentecost was, looking back, about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. As I was administering communion, Heather and Fiona were over in the corner at our 9 o'clock service, and then they had to be joined by Dale because the queue of people wanting to come forward for anointing was so long. That's wonderful. That's glorious. And moments like that stand out in the memory when we've seen God at work. The amazing growth of Rainbows, from a little group of mums and toddlers that used to meet in the glassed-into ballroom at the back, until it took over, first of all, it took over the central worship area, then it took over the whole church, and then it took over Fridays as well as Wednesdays, and now over something like 200 families come through our doors or King's Nympton every single week. That's amazing. God has blessed us so much and done so much through that as well, and the relationships that we built up with the community. St. Paul's School has been a very special place, and we've developed a wonderful relationship over the years. We had a wonderfully moving goodbye assembly on Wednesday when people gave thanks and shared some of their memories. And I just brought two of the cards to share with you this morning. I love this one. I mean, they were all lovely. And what the things the children wrote are so sweet. But this is from 3M, and it's got the church, and it's got the church doors. But I know you can't see this at the back, probably, but when you open the doors, there's Mr. Coupland talking away, hidden inside the doors. It's lovely. And then one of the year one teachers was apparently a graphic artist before he saw the light and became a teacher, and he did a cartoon of me, which is just glorious. And it just reflects the wonderful partnership that we have with the school next door and the wonderful way we've seen God at work through that. I think back on Alpha courses. There are many Alpha courses we've run, and the church Alphas. And again, one of the parts of clearing out the study and clearing out my filing cabinet is piles and piles of feedback forms at the end of Alpha courses. Just reading some of those, being so blessed and encouraged by the wonderful things people wrote that God had done for them and with them and through them and to them on the Alpha courses. The Bible school that we had, looking at the Old Testament theology and then New Testament theology, and the amazing fact of having scores of people turning up on a midweek evening to grapple with theology. Proudly told my colleagues about this and about you and how you're keen to learn and understand and grow in your knowledge of Scripture. And it's just wonderful, so encouraging. And again, the challenge is to think that at one of those evenings, we have more than twice the number of people who will come to the church at St. Richard's on a Sunday. It's kind of going to be different. And then the lovely, wonderful, glorious staff team, and particularly the staff retreats that we've had over the years. This is us last September in Sussex. And you've heard the story in sermons of how at the end of that time together, one of the highlights was praying for our waitress in Bill's in Horsham, who needed healing for her throat. They're just great, wonderful, happy times that we've seen God at work. The worship at our little staff retreats has been glorious and memorable. So many good memories. But now we're called by God. We're called by God to move on. And I've shared this verse before. It's the verse that God, I think, put on my heart for St. Richard's that I shared with them in my application and at my interview. And they'll probably get bored of hearing. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And for those of you who are visiting today and don't know, St. Richard's is you've realized already, it's a smaller church, a more traditional church that's had a hard time, that's had a really rough time, particularly the last couple of years, but going back longer than that. And they need someone to come and bind up the brokenhearted, to give them good news, to give them hope, to give them vision, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And I believe that's what God has called me to do. So, yes, it's daunting. Yes, it's kind of tough that we're going to leave lots of things behind. But that is exciting, to have that mission and that vision. And so there is excitement in the midst of the kind of sadness of moving on and saying goodbye. But I'm a bit like a parent who leaves their adolescent in charge of the house for the first time as they go on holiday. I'm thinking, but what about you? You know, who's going to look after you? Will you be okay? You know, is there enough food in the freezer? And, you know, do you know our phone number so you can contact us? And, you know, all those kind of things. And so I chose that reading from Thessalonians because it says, if I say five things, you're going to think, oh, crumbs, it's going to be really long. But five brief points that give me a vision for that I would like to leave with you. And the first one is this. In chapter 5, verses 12 and 13 of 1 Thessalonians, we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard, in love, because of their work. Live in peace with each other. I mean, I know that I am leaving a good, strong, solid, caring staff team and wardens and PCC who will lead you well and look after you well. But they need you to acknowledge those who work hard among you. And sometimes they might admonish you, but you need to hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. So from that picture, you have to wipe out the guy in the red jumper on the right and the lady in the back left. But the rest of them, they're the ones to uphold, to support, to encourage, to bless. They will have a heavier workload because of me going. It's inevitable. So they need you. They need you to pray for them. They need you to encourage them rather than whinge at them. They need you to step up and support them rather than bring fresh problems to them. So hold them in your prayers, care for them, bless them. And that leads me on to the next few verses. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. The church is not the vicar. The church is not the staff team. The church is not the wardens or even the PCC. The church is you, unless you're a visitor today, in which case in your church. But it's everyone. We all make up the church together. And so we all need to play our part in that church. So I'm in the position when I can say I'm warning those who are idle. You know, if you're not on a rota, well, it may be that there's a gap just for you, particularly because these lovely people are coming with us. Not the one third from the left, that's Paul Harcourt, who came to preach and to pray for us. But those others, and Deb Baker, who wasn't there, who was away on holiday that Sunday, they are coming with us, and they leave a gap. Caroline nods fervently. They leave a big gap, particularly in prayer ministry. They leave gaps in Kids Zone. They leave gaps on the fabric team of the PCC, so think of the painting party. They leave gaps in all sorts of areas. And so often what happens in a church is everyone waits for someone to come and say, would you do it? And in a church this size, Caroline can't go round to everyone and say, would you do it? Would you do it? Would you do it? So I'm asking you now, have you thought? Have you been waiting for someone to say, well, would you help out on the coffee rota? Or would you help out bringing someone who can't get to church, who needs transport? Or would you help reading the reading in church or doing the prayers or whatever it may be, helping with rainbows? Because we need everyone to play their part for the body to work together well. And again, if you're a visitor here today from another church, that's the same when you go back. And we all think, yeah, I'm sure someone will do that. I'm sure someone will step forward. Or I did my bit and now I'm having a break. Well, yeah, have a break. But then what about thinking, I've had a break, now let's step up again. So, Paul says, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone, and warn those who are idle. Let's play our part. Let's step up. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I hope that one of the things that you take away, if you've been with me and my sermons for any time at all in this church, is that we indeed should be thankful. And it's great knowing that even though I leave, Glyn McCauley, retired accountant and occasional preacher, will keep on being thankful and reminding us to be thankful. One of the things I really appreciate about his ministry in this church over the years, he's such a thankful person. And we have so much to be thankful for. Just living in Kingston, we have so much to be thankful for. But as Christians, we have so much to be grateful for. Even on the worst of it, I've preached this probably about half a dozen times already while I've been here, but I'll preach it again today. As Christians, even on the worst of days, Jesus loves us so much that he gave his life for us. As Christians, even on the worst of days, Jesus rose from the dead to assure us that we have a home in heaven and we can be certain of our eternal destiny. He loves us so much that he restored the relationship with the Father so we need not be lonely or on our own ever, but we know we've been adopted by God as his child, his son, his daughter, princes and princesses of the King of Kings. He's given us one another in a family to care for each other. Just before the 9 o'clock service started, I was messaging on my phone Anita Booker. Some of you will never have heard of her. She used to be a regular member of this church. She became church warden, and she then went to Tasmania and started a new life down there. And she messaged me from Tassie this morning to say, thinking of you as you have your last Sunday. And as I was setting up the church for 9 o'clock, I messaged back and sent her a picture of the church, the empty church at that point, and said, thinking of you. And it's just so wonderful how we are family across the world. But we have so much to be thankful for as God's family, God's people. And finally, That was a little digression. We have the Holy Spirit, God's personal presence, God's power, God's love, God's grace, living within us and with us. Even at 3 a.m. when you can't sleep and you're worrying about work. Even at 3 a.m. when your child is crying and won't go to sleep, despite having winded them, changed them, fed them, and done everything you can possibly think of. God, the Holy Spirit, is with us and within us. And here in St. Paul's, we have so much to be thankful for. I said there's the annual meeting. Just look through the annual report. Just look for through the parish profile. They're on the back table. Don't take them away. There are 2 copies. To see what goes on in our church, the life of our church, things you're not involved with at all. I think, wow, that's amazing that we do that, and we do that, and then we do that, and we do that. And it's not they do that. It's we do that. We have so much to be thankful for. So be joyful always. Give thanks in all circumstances. But the one I missed out, pray continually. Pray continually. The church needs to be focused on God. We need to keep renewing our connection with him, listening to him and sharing our concerns with him. And so Fiona's mentioned it already, but I'm going to mention it again. Tuesday evening, a chance to pray together for the new vicar, to pray for those who are choosing a new vicar, to pray for those who are thinking about, could I be the new vicar? And I remember I went on loads of interviews, both before I became a team vicar and then before I came to this job. And you turn up for interview, and they usually ask you the question, do you feel called by God to this church? And after a load of those questions being asked me, in the end, I said, well, let's put it this way. I wouldn't be applying if I didn't think it was possible that God was calling me to this church. But if I think God is calling me and you turn me down, then I feel pretty rubbish, don't I? So yeah, I think it's possible that God is calling me. Pray for those candidates that they have a growing sense of calling to wherever God is calling them next, and that one of them is indeed called to this church. And if you possibly can come on Tuesday evening at 8 o'clock, it would be great, because I don't know how it works, but somehow it works that the more of us gather together, the more God delights in our prayers. Doesn't mean that if we're on our own praying, he doesn't listen, but somehow it works that the more we get together, the more it helps. And to be honest, if you're praying on your own at 8 o'clock in the evening and your favourite TV programme, radio programme, podcast or whatever comes on, it's more likely you'll be distracted than if you're in church with everyone else praying. So, yeah, or an email pings in or a message or whatever. And then we're doing that because the interviews are on the 19th, as Fiona said. Fourthly, nearly there, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. I don't know if you've, because we live in 2018, perhaps you've never built a traditional fire with kindling and coal or wood. But the thing is, if you build, you can have the most magnificent fire. It's blazing gloriously in the fireplace. But then, if you don't tend it and care for it, it just goes out. If you go off and have your meal and come back into the sitting room, it can have gone out. It needs looking after. It needs a bit more coal putting on here or that log turning over. It needs tending and caring for to keep it blazing merrily. That's what we need to do in the church. Yes, God's Holy Spirit is here. Yes, I have sensed his presence time and again in St. Paul's Church. Yes, he's in our small groups. Yes, he's with us in our lives. But we need to keep tending the fire, putting a bit of kindling on, putting a bit of new, fresh bit of coal on, turning that log over. We need to keep refreshing the relationship, keeping ourselves open to hearing from God, receiving from God, and being sent by God to do what he wants to do. And repeating something that I said years ago, but was reminded of when I went to Holy Trinity Richmond. You see, your Christian life is meant to be an adventure. And at this point, I realized that I was so distracted by everything that went on this morning that I did not set up the sound on the laptop, which I now need at this moment. That's unfortunate, isn't it? So let's see if we can do something creative with the microphone on the sound desk and the speaker on the computer. Because your Christian life could be kind of dull. For many of us, our Christian life, it's kind of more like this, isn't it? If we're honest, it's kind of slippers and sofa and hot chocolate by the fire. But actually, the Holy Spirit calls us to a life of adventure and challenge. So let's see what we can do with a film clip.
What is it? Asked Jack, spooked. How much do you know about Davy Charles?
You owe me your soul. And it's time to pay up.
If there was anything that could be done,
well, there is a chest.
The dead man's chest.
To find it, you must sail to the end of the earth and beyond.
Have our heading.
Captain Sparrow!
Elizabeth, you know, these clothes do not flatter you at all. It should be a dress or nothing. I happen to have no dress in my cabin. Davy Jones.
What is in the chest?
We're on a quest. We're on an adventure. We're out to save souls. Not to recreate Dibley. Is your Christian life like that? Have you lost the sense of adventure? Has the spark gone out? Well, Paul says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. That's what we need to recover. But the great thing is, the wonderful thing is, that the encouraging thing is, from the last verses of our reading, it's not us who ultimately have to do this. We stack the kindling, but we don't have to make the fire. God is the fire that burns in our souls. So Paul says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. It's not up to me. It's not up to Fiona, which is a great relief to her. It's not up to Fiona and Steve. It's not up to the PCC. It's not even up to you. It's up to God. It's his church. St. Paul's belongs to him. He has called us. He is faithful. And so we need to make room for him to do it, to lead us forward, to guide us, to empower us, to enthuse us, to inspire us, to encourage us, to strengthen us, to envision us. So I leave you in his hands. And that's why I'm a little nervous. But I'm not really worried, because I built on the foundation laid by the previous vicar, Ray de Vial. Ray built on the foundation left by the previous vicar, Henry White, and Henry on the one before him, and so on. And in all of that, all we did was build on the foundation laid by the apostles and prophets, by Jesus Christ himself. It's his church, and he calls us, and he is faithful, and I believe he will do it. If we let him, if we keep focused on him, if we make sure the church is a fire of the Holy Spirit and not a comfy club of like-minded people who like to get together. That's the challenge before us, but that's the promise that is before us. And all I need to do is trust his promise. His promise is the answer to my prayers. And so this is my prayer for you as we go to another church. And as you wait for another vicar, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that prayer because I know that the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen. Amen.